Well, let's begin, and I'll give you a little brief update on the answers to your prayers. I had a great trip, really. It was kind of unusual because I had to go into Russia and then to the Ukraine, but you can't fly from Russia to Ukraine or Ukraine to Russia now because the borders are closed, so you got to go through another country, and you got connections, and you got delays, and you got... So... The overall summary, I was gone 13 days. I had 8 different flights. And if you want to catch planes with a short layover and stuff, when everything's in Russian, that makes you really appreciate prayer. And I slept in 9 beds, if you can believe that. But I do recommend that you take your own pillow, because then... But it was really sweet. The people were always so appreciative of... visitors, particularly from the West, particularly from Costa Mesa, because they still look at Costa Mesa kind of as the mother church, so to speak. Hard life. We don't have any idea how well we have it here. And when I read about our constituents here stomping on the flag and complaining about every little thing, it just breaks my heart. But the Lord knows, and He's coming soon to take care of all the wickedness and the evil around the world. And unless you're in Christ, you're going to end up in hell, torment forever. And so the brief problems we have here on earth are really not the big deal. The big deal is eternity. So we need to keep remembering that, and we need to keep modeling the love of God, because we don't have much time, either here on the earth or the church generally, depending on when the rapture occurs, we don't know. But I want to be ready for the rapture today. It may not come in my lifetime, but one of these days we'll all take our last breath, right? And everybody around us will take their last breath, and where will they be? Where will they be is the issue. So thank you for praying. I didn't really have any jet lag going or coming, and I think when you get so old, it doesn't register anymore. It just, you know, you're just in a kind of perpetual state of dullness. So you know, so. No, I do think when you're young, well, you're full of energy and all this, and you're jumping over high walls and all this, and you don't do that when you get to be a little bit more experienced, I guess. At any rate, this morning I want to begin by introducing Luke chapter 11, verse 2-4. Is the model prayer, often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Obviously, it's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is giving that model for us, so if you want to use it in that regard, but this is not the way He would pray, forgive us our sins and so forth. But He's giving us the model here, and this is a good model, isn't it? It's not to be necessarily memorized rote for rote. We have the other account in Matthew, a very similar prayer. A different occasion, but it's not word for word, which tells us it's not the only way to pray. But it's a model to pray. But it's awfully good because it starts out looking at the Father and then honoring Him, hallowing His name, and praying that His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then we get in our own personal petitions, just a few. I do think this prayer is often run together, and we don't really pray it. We just mumble it. In other words, if I say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. I mean, can you remember any of those petitions? It's just like this. But if we even slow down and just pause after each phrase and think of that, it's still hard to stretch this out more than 2 minutes. So if we can get the model prayer prayed pretty appropriately, so to speak, by stretching it out in 2 minutes. Why do we, particularly in a prayer group, now if you're alone with the Lord, this is maybe a little different, but why would you take 5 or 10 minutes to pray? It's not because you're praying the way you're led by the Spirit, it's because you want to hear yourself talk, or you want others to hear you talk on how good a prayers you are, but that's not the point. The point is, from your heart, as led by the Spirit, pray. And Jesus had a very short prayer here. There's not very many words in this prayer. And so we want to begin today by looking on, I think it's the last page, page 4. You might be able to read the notes a little bit better today. I had them squeezed down to 1 page, 2 sides, and I thought, my, this is about as inviting to read as, you know, reading in Braille or something. I thought so. I increased the font a little bit, so maybe you can read it a little bit better. But there's some good things in here. I pulled a whole bunch of different commentaries together and a few of my own comments and so forth. Not that it's anything you don't know, but it's just good review for the Lord teaching us a model of prayer. So let's begin by singing this old hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We sing the first verse, the second verse, and then the first verse again to sing along with the Maranatha Praise Band here.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour.
Well, in the Gospel of Luke, we had the account of the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then we had the brief description of Mary and Martha, where Martha, of course, was all concerned about a lot of serving, and Mary had the better part sitting at Jesus' feet hearing his word. And then we have a time gap, I don't know how long, but it says, now it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, the word praying there with Jesus is a different word than when we pray, because Jesus is God. So when Jesus prays to the Father, it's a prayer on the same level. When we pray to God, we need to remember that God is God and we're not. He is much, 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 and you can say the much is the rest of the day, higher than we are. And yet he loves us and he hears our prayers. So Jesus is more of a conversation, I think, with the Lord, And I believe the model prayer here will show us that our prayers are to be more of requests to the Lord, more of specifically identifying something to pray for, and then believing that if it's in accordance with His will, He's going to do it. And we basically, as we've talked about in the past at times, we don't let go of what we're praying for until we get an answer, if we know it's His will. And that may mean salvation prayers may be year after year after year after year, for example, but a lot of other prayers He answers immediately. He will answer all of our prayers, as we know, either yes or no. And the yes may be wait as well. It may be coming, but it's not yet time because He's doing some other things. So Jesus says, when you pray, say. So here's the model to pray. It doesn't mean you pray these exact words necessarily, but I think we ought to include these things in our prayers. First is, who are we praying to? And here it says, our Father in heaven. Now this is the first time, at least in the Gospels, it's the first time that we really have our Father. The Old Testament, they never referred to as God as Father. He was like a very, they had such reverence for Him, which is good, but He was kind of distant, it seems to me. They didn't have access to Him. They had to go through a high priest. The high priest could only have access to the Holy of Holies one day a year, and that was after the proper sacrifices and so forth. And so the people had to go through the priest on earth to get to God. But we know that when Jesus shed His blood and paid the price of sin, that the veil was rent, and when He died, and the veil was rent in the temple, and now the way is open for those who are His because of what He has done. And so praying in that area, we're saying our Father. So He's talking to His family here to speak. He's talking to the disciples, which would be you and I as well, because we're His disciples. So we come to Him as our Father. Yes, you can come to Him if you're praying alone as my Father. He certainly is my Father, but He's certainly your Father. And in a group, He's certainly our Father. And which Father is that? It's the Father in heaven. This is the Maker, as you know, of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things, of billions of galaxies and things beyond our wildest imaginations as to the extent of the creation. And when we see a newborn baby, for example, we see the eyes, or we see the ears, or we think of the miraculous creation of a new life. This is who we're talking to. Now we're addressing the prayer to the One who made it all and designed us as well in His own image. So our Father in heaven, and then the first request is not selfish, unless you're drowning like Peter, save me, then you know you probably don't have time for this. But in the normal prayer, we want to begin our request with Him, and we say what? Hallowed be Your name. How hallowed is the name of the Lord to you? Do you choose to really show the reverence and the set-apartedness, in a sense, of His name? Or is He, well, He's my buddy in the sky, and I can just kind of casually refer to Him. I hope you know He's your friend, but not that He's your buddy in the sky. I mean, in a sense, I guess you could say He's your buddy in the sky, but the buddy in the sky has much more of a kind of a casual nothingness to it. We're talking about the God of the universe. Hallowed, set apart, sanctified be Your name. And then going on, Your kingdom come, Your heavenly kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have those initial petitions are not about ourselves, but they're about His kingdom coming. It's interesting, at the very end of the book of Revelation, we have the same prayer again, Lord, come quickly, right? And He is coming soon. And I mean quickly, what that word is means when He does come, it's going to happen very fast. Not it's going to happen tomorrow necessarily, it may. But Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And as we look around the world today, we see absolutely the opposite of that on earth, right? His will is, in a sense, He's in control and His will is being done, but not specifically. Satan's in control of the world and evil continually. We see the corruption in all leaders that I know of in the world. I was so amazed when I started to be shown, but we spent some time touring St. Petersburg, Russia one day, and to see all of the evidences in the architecture of the Freemasons. It's amazing when you look at the Illuminati and all of these so-called gods through the Freemasonry that have been leaders in the world. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, many of our own founding fathers here were Freemasons. And they have that belief, you get up, as I understand, to the 30th and 31st level, that you are God, and you've already been resurrected. And I mean, it's just totally from the pit of hell, in my opinion. But these are in the brotherhood. These are the buddies. That's who's running this nation. That's who's running the nations of the world right now. I think being, in part, of course, empowered by Satan. But we need to come against that, because that's what's ruling the world, and his kingdom is coming soon. Even when you go into the great cathedral there in St. Petersburg, there's the architect, and he's got his one arm hidden and these other things which mean in the signs of the masonry, which I didn't even know. But it's just kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting. But how they need the gospel, because they're so deceived. How world leaders need to have the fear of God in their eyes and not thinking that they are the ones. So, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's the criterion that we're praying for, that what is in heaven will be on earth. And we know it will be, but we know it won't be totally until the Lord returns. But in our hearts, in the family's hearts, in the believer's hearts, we have his kingdom here already, in a sense, at least in our heart. And then we move on into the personal petitions, as you know, and he gives us, the first request is daily. Give us day by day our daily. Now, day by day our daily is pretty daily, isn't it? This is not weekly, this is not annually, this is not semi-annually, this is daily. We're to ask for our daily requests. Now, for people in this nation, daily bread in terms of food in your pantry is probably not a very urgent need that you have, because we're so blessed. Most places you go in the world, this is a very real prayer for them. They need one meal a day, and they need to pray for it. But we do have daily needs, don't we? We have all kinds of spiritual bread needs, don't we? Don't we have tremendous spiritual needs day by day? I know we do. So we need to pray for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily, our necessary bread. And then next is forgive us our sins. Now remember, the blood was shed for all sins. So you can say, well, my sins were forgiven on the cross, weren't they? Yes, they certainly were. Past, present, and future. Oh, future sins? We got future sins? I bet we do. We'll have sins today. Probably most of us have already sinned already this morning, thinking that the day begins with us and we need to really be concerned about ourselves more than anybody else. I don't think that's really the right way, but that's the flesh, isn't it? Forgive us our sins. And then the criterion here, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, in this account right here. And we know that in the Matthew account, when Jesus got done with the prayer, he repeated that again, that if you do not forgive others their sins, the Lord will not forgive you your sins. And so the forgiveness of sin is such a big issue here, and we need to remember that. That's one of the three petitions here, really, or four petitions. And then we read, do not lead us into temptation, or do not test us in temptation, or do not, Vernon McGee likes to use the word leave, but do not leave us in temptation. So, but we don't want to be given sting. He will not test us beyond what we're able, but we don't want to be getting haughty and say, well, he can lay it on me, I can handle it. No, no, we don't want to go that way. We don't want to tempt him in any way. Do not lead us into temptation, and then, but deliver us from the evil one. There's kind of a controversy on the evil one. Does that refer to Satan only? It certainly refers to Satan, because he's referred to the evil one in a number of places in the passage. But I happen to believe that it refers to all evil, as well as the evil from Satan. I think that I want to be delivered from all evil. And if you want to say, well, all the evil in the world is really from Satan or inspired by Satan, that might be. But there's a lot of evil in our flesh, right? There's a lot of evil in man that I wouldn't necessarily just say it's all Satan. I think it's our flesh, really, our flesh rebelling. And so the prayer is to deliver us from the evil or from the evil one. There is the article "the" in the original and in the King James, New King James. It is appropriately given there. In some cases, it just says deliver us from evil. But in this account, it is the evil one, is the correct translation, I believe. So the Matthew account then goes back to, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. This just ends here. So this is a little more abbreviated prayer. But again, it starts with God and the petitions to him, and then the real needs that we have. And we need to pray it frequently. We need to pray it as a model, not as a rote prayer. And he hears our prayers, doesn't he? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can gather here in your name. We thank you that you will hear our prayers. And Lord, we thank you we can pray in one accord, led by one Spirit. And so, Lord, may we agree with each other, Lord. May we be aware of what our prayers sound like to you. Lord, may we pray slowly and focus on the things we're asking for, not just rattling off a whole bunch of things together. And Lord, may we be praying as led by the Spirit to pray, Lord. And in this very short model prayer, it's only a couple of minutes maximum we can stretch it out to. And so, Lord, it seems to me if we have long prayers, it is not of the Spirit, really. It's just what we think. And so, Lord, we want to pray as led by your Spirit this morning, knowing that the words led by the Spirit will be more important than 1,000 or 10,000 of our own words, I believe. So help us to pray now. We want to pray for the nations. We want to pray for the rulers. We want to pray for your church, Lord. We want to pray for the whole body of Christ. We want to pray for those teaching. We want to pray for those lost. We want to have more compassion for the lost, Lord. And we want to pray for prayer in the house of God. We want to pray for righteousness beginning in the house of God here at Costa Mesa as well as all over the world. And so, Lord, thank you for allowing us to pray. Thank you for teaching us the model prayer. And now, Lord, lead us as we pray to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's pray.